better for worse. It doesn't mean that when you are being maltreated, you should stay in the marriage.
The same man who abused a woman is the same man who will be offered another woman.
Anytime he is beating me, he will tell me that I'm going to kill you and nobody will question me.
For better, for worse, till death do us part. Never leave your home no matter what. You can always resolve it with your husband. Yet, most women die trying to endure an abusive marriage. Why exactly do they do it? Let's find out. Hello, my name is Lillian Ogazi, and this is The Bearing coming to you from Daily Trust. In this episode, we are talking about why many women stay in abusive marriages. People enter marriages for different reasons, some for companionship and some for peace. But when the opposite happens, what should become of such a marriage? In the media today, trending cases of domestic violence leading to the death of women have been reported. Several women have shared their survival stories, and some have had their stories told as they lie in the grave. Why do women stay in abusive marriages? Dora Ome experienced an abusive marriage, but was one of the lucky ones to have left her life. Mardia Umar had a chat with her.
I got married at the age of 18 years. I started battling with issues in marriage. My husband would go out to drink, come back and start beating me. I tried to control it, but I couldn't, which I called my parents and told them, see what happened. That this man is always drinking, and whenever you drink, he will come back home misbehaving and beating me. You understand? All sorts of things. So my mom said that I should hold on, that she will come to Sokoto, which she did actually. She came, but my mom could not control the temper because he's a hot temper. He's very, 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 very hot temper. So that's when I called the family member to tell them what happened. They would just, in that aspect of beating, they will not ask me what happened, what eventually happened. You understand? I will tell them, this is exactly what happened. You understand? Maybe you try to correct me. This is my fourth time of leaving my marriage. Initially, after beating me, I have miscarriage. I left. I traveled home. His people came begging on behalf of him, which he later apologized. You understand? I still come back again. We still start living together again.
So at what point did you notice that? Or at what point did you find out that you had to leave your marriage?
Ah, my dear, I have it in mind for almost about 5 years back. You understand? But I tried, because where I'm working, I tried to make them understand that, honestly, I want to leave Sokoto to ease, at least to change the environment, because I am the type that I don't want people to know what I'm passing through. But few people that's very close to me knows about it. You understand? Most of my friend, close friend, I do tell them that this is what I'm passing through. I will work from morning till night, and I will come back to the office, and my husband will be beating me to the extent that sometimes he will wound me. So the reason why I told them, so that they will be aware of what is happening in case if anything happened to me. But because of the job, I don't want to leave my job because he's not doing anything. I'm the one putting food on the table. I'm the one taking care of the family. I'm the one paying the children's school fees. You understand? So I didn't want to leave my job. I pleaded to them for them to transfer me, which they refuse. When I'm working with First Bank, at least we have a completed building where he started building before he got married to me. but he didn't finish it up. It's when I started with First Bank. That is when I completed the building. I furnished the house. I did everything to make sure that at least I please him. I tried everything possible for him to calm down and notice that he has a family and he has children to look up to. Sometimes you will drink and fall inside the gutter. You understand? And whenever you come back, you start beating me. And people, even if I call elders to tell them, they will say, it's because he's not doing anything and this. You understand? That I should try to understand.
So when you were going through all of this and at some point you needed to tell family members, was there any kind of self-preservation? Because the society sees people that want to live their marriage as people who are they're not responsible kind of
people. Yes. Initially, I wanted to leave, but because of what people will say, and anytime he's beating me, he will tell me that I'm going to kill you and nobody will question me. You understand? And again, if you try leaving me, I will tell the whole world that you left me because I'm not doing anything and you want to go and flex and you want to go and sleep with men. That's why you want to leave me. And after saying all those things, you understand what people will say about me. They will see me as irresponsible woman. You understand? I now try to cover up, praying that one day he will change, which he never changed. The family member said that she's not working, and anybody that is working in bank or the married woman that is working in bank, they normally sleep around. My husband is not doing anything, and you are telling me to stop working, that those that are working in the bank sleep with managers and what have you. That I can't do that. You understand? The family member now refused to assist in anything. They left the burden for me. And I called my mom. I said, see what is happening. The man is trying to kill me. He's trying to frustrate me. So recently, there is a place I bought a land. And I built on that how the land. You have been saying it that one day you will kill me and nobody will question me. But I just want to tell you that even if you kill me, you cannot lay your hand in any of my properties. That is my name and my children's name that I used and buy the properties. And I built on their name. And even my lawyer knows. I have told my lawyer that you are trying to kill me. So for you to know that this house now that you are trying to kill me and take away with, that the house belongs to my children. And I've told my lawyer. You understand? So that's now provoking me. He now checked the gallon and saw the fuel I kept, you understand, beside the gym. That is when he now carried the fuel and poured all over the compound. I need to run. That day I ran, like my children followed me. We ran to the neighbor's house. He started shouting, neighbors gathered. He said, for me to buy the land and build the house without his name, he's going to burn the house and burn me and the children. So IG, you understand, intervened. He called me and called him. And I said that the best thing that he's going to do is to arrest him and put him in a canter. Which people started calling, started saying a lot of things that, please, I should not do it. That I've been enduring this man. You understand? That I should endure more because of what people will say.
So what's your advice for people who are passing through domestic violence?
I'm telling them that the only thing to do is just to leave the house, no matter what. Initially, it's because of my children. I'm thinking of, what am I going to tell my children? My own daughter, you understand, called me and said, Mommy, one day, Daddy will kill you. I now notice that at least she knows what is happening. Mm-hmm. Marriage is not do or die affairs.
That was Dora Ome sharing her story. Quite a tale there. According to Dora, the love of her children and what people would say kept her in that marriage. Does society play a role in making women stay in abusive marriage? Bilkisu Ahmed put this question and more to a sociologist.
I'm Sanilo Olumalufashi from Department of Sociology, Bayero University, Kano, Nigeria. Domestic violence or spousal abuse is twofold. There are cases of spousal abuse against men by women, and there are a number of cases of spousal abuse against women by men.
Mm.
Predominantly, women more susceptible to abuse than men because of their dependent nature on men.
Mm.
They depend on men for livelihood.
Mm.
They depend on men for comfort. Men provide by our culture, most especially in African societies. Men protect, men produce for women. And because of that, they perpetually are dependent on men. And their dependency nature made them vulnerable to abuse.
Mm.
They will be battered, they will be abused, they will be traumatized. There is nothing they can do. They can go nowhere because their entire livelihood depends on men.
Mm.
Culture play a role in that. We live in a patriarchal society where men predominate, have more power and authority over women.
Mm.
Therefore, the society is more protective on men for whatever they do.
Mm-mm.
The society is more permissive of men and very restrictive on women. So therefore, culture being restrictive of women.
Does that mean it's all because of that, the culture, because the woman sees herself as low, as weak, that is why she should keep silence even when she's being beaten to death?
Yeah. You see, culture is, you know, is looking the other way, as I said, because of the status of women in the society. Look, in African culture, women are regarded as properties. They could be inherited. Do you know that in Nigeria, there is a culture that can inherit a woman? So because if you are commoditized, you are objectified, you know, the whole essence of humanity is being removed of you. That is culture. That is culture. Therefore, it means that you have no rights. And that's why if you go to court, even if a woman goes to court, the judgment is in favor. Even if she's abused, the judgment is in favor of men. And if she reported her case to her parents that her husband is abusing her, same parent will take her back again. The same man who abused a woman in our culture, traumatized her, abused her, killed her, is the same man who will be offered another woman when he seeks for marriage again. But the same culture, the same society, the same parents. That is culture.
Why does the society keep silent? Why do they expect the woman to just endure no matter how the hardship she's facing, even if the hardship is after her life? Why does she have to stay in such a relationship?
The society kept silence because it is a society of men, and it is men doing that. So men cannot go against men. And women accepted that. She accepted the fact that she is submissive because she is culturally trained to be submissive. She accepted the fact that she is dependent. She cannot do anything. She cannot be on her own because she is culturally trained to accept that kind of dependency status.
Based on what you said, because she's dependent on the man, she's weak, Well, most women are independent. They are the breadwinners of in their houses.
Those women who are independent, you find that they are relatively more liberated, relatively more free, relatively more secured than those who are not independent.
Mm.
But we have an exception. It is an exception. And it is an exception also because the man who abuses her is protected by the culture. But with education, that's the power of education. If the society is relatively more literate, this issue of abuse will be reduced.
That was Professor Sani Mulemfashi, a sociologist. The perfect wedding is the dream of most young girls. As they want to have a perfect wedding, they forget about the perfect marriage. How does a marriage get to that point where all the love fades and abuse takes the lead? A marriage counselor tells us more.
My name is Temi Tayo Ogunaike. I'm a relationship and marriage coach. I coach about weds and newlyweds on how to start and sustain a genuinely happy and intimate marriage. Firstly, I'd like to say that marriage doesn't exist in isolation. It is not a building. People, that is husbands and wives, make up a marriage. Marriage doesn't just work. You have to work it out. You get what you actually put in. And so, expatiating on that, I'd say that people bring in their baggages, experiences, upbringing, background, into marriage. And so what you get as an output is what you put in as the input. So a marriage doesn't just suddenly become violent. The signs are always there. The only thing is that most of these signs are often ignored. So people tend to say, oh, he's going to change, she's going to change, or I can change him, oh, I love him, I love her, and so I can manage, I can cope. You know, and so people begin to develop coping mechanisms till the day that they are unable to cope, or till something just triggers a reaction. It could be something, it could be an incident, it could be a word, it could be a situation that will just trigger a reaction. So I would say that people should take their time to discover who they want to marry. And in marriage, they shouldn't stop working on themselves. As a matter of fact, they should submit to accountability, that is professional counseling, that doesn't just focus on one aspect or one side of marriage, say maybe the spiritual aspect, you should focus on every other aspect: emotional intelligence, communication, mental health, right? Finances. The signs are always there. It's just that sometimes they're ignored, right? Or sometimes we just downplay on those signs. One of the signs is when you notice that a man snaps, or he shouts, or he's very aggressive at every slight provocation, then that is a sign, or that is a warning sign. A man also who was abused, or it could even be a woman who was abused, right, while growing up, has a higher chance of also abusing other people much later. And so this is the essence of premarital counseling. This is the essence of taking your time to discover more about your partner before you say, "I do." Like I mentioned earlier, it actually takes two to make a marriage work. If the abuser is willing to seek professional help, then by all means, they can work together and see how they can build their relationship or bring it back to what it was. But there has to be a sign. There has to be that sign of progress that you are actually working with a professional therapist. Right. And of course, if the abused is willing to accept based on the conditions that, well, maybe they both submit to accountability, you know, this takes time. Actually, it takes time. But I would like to say that it is possible to build that such a marriage back, so long as they are both willing to, or the abused or the abuser, they are willing to go for therapy. Well, I used to say, you cannot change anyone. If you really, really do love him or her, then separate and go seek professional help. Help from a professional therapist, from a professional coach, from a specialist, right? And yes, if unwilling to get help, I usually maintain that you stay separated. But if you're going to get help, then you can work together and see how to rebuild your marriage back.
That was Coach Temitayo Ogunaike, a marriage counselor. You are listening to The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust Online. You can listen to or download this episode on Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio by searching for The Bearing. You can also listen on NAS FM 89.9 in Yola and Unity FM 93.3 in Jos. We'll be going on break. Do stay. Welcome back. This is The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust. You can listen to or download this and other episodes on Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio by searching for The Bearing. In this episode, we are talking about why women stay in abusive marriages. Before we went on break, a survivor of domestic violence shared her story. We also spoke to a sociologist on the role society plays in keeping women in abusive marriages. A wedding either takes place with a pastor or an imam officiating. The issue of religion and where it stands on women living abusive marriages have been the subject of many debates. What exactly does the church say about divorce on the grounds of domestic violence? Should a woman truly stay for better and the worst cases of violence and abuse? Bilkisu Ahmed has a chat with Pastor Linus Maidala.
The Bible says, "He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord."
Mm.
Marriage is honorable in the sight of God. The hand of God is involved in marriage.
Mm.
And God is against violence in marriage. God is not in support of it.
Mm.
Pastors are not in support of that. Yes, when you hear the word "for better, for worse," it doesn't mean that when you are being maltreated, you should stay in the marriage, like you just said earlier.
Mm.
What that means is when you have and when you don't have, I will still stick to you.
Mm.
Through thick and thin,
mm,
we will go through it together. It doesn't mean that when you have been beaten, you know, you will stay, and that's not what it means. It means that even when you don't have, I will stand by you, and together we will fight through,
mm,
to have a better marriage. So like I said earlier, marriage is a good thing before the Lord. It is constituted by God. God is the one that initiated marriage. And everyone that is married is expected to live happily. Mm. However, there are people also that actually go into marriage without being prepared for it.
Mm.
There are people also that go into marriage without really knowing the kind of person they are getting married to. And then the moment they get married, you start seeing one or two things begin to happen. You know, you can arrest it, you know, early when you discover such things. That is why it is good for you to have courtship before getting into marriage. Know exactly who you are getting married to. It's important because if you don't know someone and then you just met the person 1 week, 2 weeks, at most one month, you just see that the people get married. You don't know who you are marrying to. You don't know what the person does. You don't know the person's temperament.
Mm.
If you look at it, that is actually where some of these things come. But you see, the church is against violence.
Mm.
Pastors are against that. God himself is against that.
Okay.
Nobody is saying to someone that when your husband is beating you, when that begins to happen, it is important that these two people are separated. Let them be able to deal with such things, right? Because we don't actually project a divorce at that from the beginning. It's important you tackle what is happening between the man and the woman. Give them proper counsel and then see how they can be able to amend whatever thing that has happened.
But if what will the church do if the woman finally leaves the house because of that, sir? Because, yes, divorce is not permitted in Christianity, but her life is at stake here. What will the church do about it?
Well, that is where the place of counseling comes in. You see, you can't force any woman to marry a man.
Mm.
Neither will you force any man to marry a woman. If a woman says she doesn't want to stay with a man, it's her choice. In fact, from the beginning, it is both of you that brought yourself to the church that we want to marry.
Mm.
Nobody forced anybody to get married, you know. But you see, I've counseled a lot of people and I've seen that there are people that are very violent in their marriage.
Yeah.
And I have seen things work out for them. And I've seen the ones that are, you know, are violent and the marriage didn't work anymore.
Mm.
And both of them went their separate ways. We are not saying this will happen. But you see, if that happens, then what do? You can't stop divorce from happening. But we are not talking about where something little happens that be able to handle and then you just go about divorcing yourselves. That is not also good.
That was Pastor Linus Maidala speaking. What does Islam say about this? Is domestic violence permissible in Islam? Can a woman leave the marriage without fear and condemnation from her religion? I had a chat with an imam and this is what he had to say.
My name is Hassan Hussein, the chief imam of Muslim community Mosque Masaka. Yes, Islam permits a woman to seek for divorce. If she's living under a man that maltreats her, Islam permits her to seek for divorce in any court of law. And Islam permits that judge to divorce the marriage. So any woman that is living in violence with her husband, Islam permits her to seek for divorce. According to Quran, chapter 2, verse 229, Allah has given women the right to seek for divorce. A woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and told the Prophet that the man I marry is not my type. I don't like him. I don't love him. He's not my type. And the Prophet ﷺ says, then invite the husband. This is what your wife says. And he said, yes, this is what we have been battling. And the Prophet ﷺ said, then if you don't like him, return back his money he gave during the time of your marriage. And she said he gave a plot of land. And the Prophet ﷺ said, return that land to him. She returned the land to him, and that is the end of the marriage. This one is not even under. She doesn't like him. She doesn't like the man. She's not interested in the man. And for you to even talk of violence, Islam says the court should divide the marriage, and the woman will not return anything to the man because he's not a man enough to handle a woman. So Islam encouraged her to seek for divorce. According to this verse, I quote Quran chapter 2, verse 229. When you go to the commentary of the verse, and the name of that divorce is called Khul'i. Khul'i is an Arabic word. Where Umar returned back the dowry to the husband, and the marriage will be over. Quran has never encouraged men to beat their wife. Quran has never encouraged them. Quran has never asked you to beat your wife. But Quran has given three stages of correcting your wife. According to Quran chapter 4, verse 34, Allah the Most High says, men that are afraid of bad attitude of their wife should preach to them. Preach to your wife. Show her why you got married to her. Tell her the word of God to correct her mistakes. If she corrects, that is all. If she insists in the bad attitude, now the Quran also now told you that stay away from her. When it comes to night affairs, don't sleep on the bed. You will not leave the house. You will not leave the room, but you will never lie down with her in the same bed. It means you will never have marriage affairs with her. For sometimes, if she complains, you tell her the reason why you are staying away from her. If she corrects, you come back and continue your marriage affairs. If she insists in the bad attitude, Quran now say, strike her with cane, not blow, not boxing, not wrestling. Strike her with cane in her back, according to scholars' explanation. You strike her, you look for a cane as if you want to flog your daughter that did something wrong. You strike her like three stroke in her back. Don't beat your wife in the face. If she corrects, that is what Allah wants. So beating women is not encouraging. Your wife is not, you are not doing WrestleMania in the house. She's not your enemy. She's your friend. She's your sister. She's your daughter. She's your mother. You treat her kindly with love and affection. And women that are afraid, living in violence, Islam give you the right to seek for divorce. Don't die in silence. You have the right to come out. The religion has given you your right to come out, to complain and seek for your rights. Don't stay and die in silence. Don't stay and die in problem and calamities in tribulation. Islam has never encouraged that. You have the right. You're a human being. Marriage is not a do or die affairs. If you don't like, seek for divorce.
That was Hassan Husseini, Chief Imam of Muslim Community Mosque, Karu. Is there a psychological reason why women still stay with their abusive spouse and sometimes go as far as making excuses for their abusive behaviors? An emotional and anger management coach tells us more.
My name is Ms. Vidada Kindamsi, anger management coach and emotional intelligence coach as well. This is just my own personal opinion. I think the culture and probably our society, also economic factors, you know, functions of women being having to stay, no matter how abusive the relationship is.
Okay, so in such cases, how does this affect the woman in the long run? Because we find out that most women end up giving excuses for the men. So how does them staying in this marriage affect the relationship in the long run?
You know, like I said earlier, I talked about the culture. If we go down low, you know, to memory lane, you'll find people saying that you should stay in your husband's house because of the children. If you leave your husband's house, the children will suffer. You hear all those things. You go back to your mother's house or go back to your parents. They send you back and say, okay, that's how it has been. The woman is meant to be subdued and all that. So I think it's the patriarchy in our society that allows this. Then in the long run, some have been able to survive it, like they live through it, they live through the torture, and the crown into the fact that they are doing this is sacrifice for their children. So some are lucky not to die in it. So when they don't die in it, they feel like they're victorious and they have done all that for their children, while some are not lucky enough, just like, you know, the news trending.
Okay, so how does this affect the woman psychologically and emotionally, and also her children, the children she's staying for? How does this have an after effect on them?
It affects the woman psychologically in the sense that a lot of women kind of lose their self-esteem. They lose their person. They don't have the nerves to push or to live their dreams to be what they're supposed to be, because they don't have anybody to speak for them or nobody to go to. They can't run back home. No family member will support them, even friends. Even the society will not listen to them. The society discriminates against a woman who is divorced, you know. They label them. So because you're not bold enough, you don't want to be labeled. So you just stay in and keep quiet. You see, being victimized or being beaten, domestic violence, you see it as a stigma. So you don't want to come out and tell anybody that you're experiencing that, so that keep all appearances and you tell lies. You find some women have scars on their faces and you ask them what happened. They make excuses. Some of them will say, I fell down from the staircase, I missed my step. Some of them will say, I had an car accident. They would never speak up because we do not want to be stereotyped. Okay. You know, so the woman suffers twice. She's beaten and then she doesn't want society to frown at her, so she stays. But how does it affect the children? The word says, hurt people, hurt people. So it just turns to a circle. Those children too will feel that it's all right to beat up their spouses when they grow up. So it just continues.
All right. Now, finally, quickly, before we go now, as an anger management coach now, we know it's anger that causes this thing, uncontrolled anger, and I wouldn't want to call it hatred per se, but do you think there's a possibility that as a woman married to a man who has anger issues and has a tendency to beat you up, you can change him?
I don't think so. I do not think so. If somebody has anger issues, okay, before let me digress a little bit. I want to say that sometimes when somebody beats you up all the time, you allow him, you enable him to do that because you probably don't do anything about it. So he probably thinks it is all right and he continues to do the same thing all the time. When someone does something and he has to, you know, pay, get consequences for these things, it could help them stop it, what they do. But you see, the woman will always cover up. He comes to beg and he probably buys her a new car or something. And then life goes on. So for you to say that you can change somebody who has anger issues is a fallacy. It's not possible. You can't change a person. If a person wants to change, person speaks out and person goes for therapy, seeks help. Okay. It's a conscious thing. It's something the person, you have to accept it that you have anger issues and make effort to work on it.
That was Ms. Wydad Akindamosi, an anger management and emotional intelligence coach, speaking. According to Lala Delai, if you walk away from a toxic, negative, abusive, one-sided, dead-end, low-vibrational relationship, friendship, or marriage, you won. A lot of women should learn to just walk out. Your life comes first at all times. This is where we draw the curtain on this episode of The Bearing. Thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to everyone who contributed to making this program successful. The Bearing is a Daily Trust production, and you can download these and other episodes on dailytrust.com, buzzsprout.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio by searching for The Bearing. You can also listen on NAS FM 89.9 in Yola and Unity FM 93.3 in Jos. Remember that it is open for sponsorship and advert placement. So if you intend to sponsor an episode of The Bearing, or if you have questions or comments or suggestions of topics you would like us to talk about, call us or send us a message via WhatsApp on 0913-893-3390. Or you could reach us via social media handles on Twitter and Instagram at @daily_trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust. My name is Lillian Ogazi. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.